Here we go.
Money talks.
Here comes the money. Money.
Dollar, dollar. Dollar, dollar. Ching, ching, bling, bling. Cut your chatter. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter.
This is Smart Money. The show where living smart is all about saving, being motivated, anticipating, being responsible, and being timely. I'm Joshua Ehlers, your host, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Jason Summers. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Smart Money. Good evening. I'm glad to be back after a long extended break. How are you doing tonight, Jason?
I'm doing pretty great. How are you?
No, not too bad. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, good.
Thanksgiving break, you know, got all that Black Friday shopping in. It was crazy out there. Not as crazy.
This is sad. The only thing I got Black Friday shopping was a trash can. I'm dead serious. I got a trash can
for my
apartment.
You got a trash can?
I bought a trash can at Walmart for my apartment.
That's what you went out Black Friday shopping for.
I'm an old man. I know. I know.
You bought a trash can.
I bought a trash can. It's a good deal, though.
Hey, as long as you got a good deal on it. As long as it was on sale, you know.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
How about you? Did you do anything crazy?
I didn't do anything crazy. I went out with my parents, and that was about it. You know, didn't really buy anything. Just kind of went out to see how the madness was. And honestly, there wasn't much madness this year.
Yeah, there really wasn't. When I went, because I grabbed the trash can at Walmart, and there was like hardly anyone there.
I would say that the biggest madness was on Thursday night, which is really weird. My dad and I kind of went out Thursday night. Nothing was happening at home. I already taken my nap earlier, you know, watching football. So we decided, why not? Let's head out. We went to Walmart. It was kind of packed. I was kind of surprised. And Walmart had their whole map thing with balloons, so you knew where to go to get stuff. It wasn't bad. Some of the sales, you know, we're looking for home decor, were kind of nice. So, but other than that,
home decor, like a trash can, right?
Like a trash can. That's right. Anyways, so Jason and I, we're doing something new tonight. We don't really have a lesson for everyone. We're going to answer your questions. So any of your money questions that you know, need to ask or, you know, have on the tip of your tongue and want to ask us, we will give you our best advice. Don't hold us to it. We're not professionals, but we will give you our best advice for your money situation. So to get us your money question, tweet us using the hashtag MySmartMoneyQuestion. So you don't have to tweet at us. Just make a tweet and use the hashtag MySmartMoneyQuestion, and we will answer your questions at the second half of the show. So we're doing that tonight, and we'll probably do it next week as well, since next week is our last show for the semester. How crazy is that?
Yeah, it'll be the last one that I'll be a part of, actually.
We're gonna throw a party next week for Jason, his going away party. Won't be too excited. Probably the safe thing, because we're guys. I don't plan ahead, so yeah. I'll probably forget.
I probably will, too. So
that's what we're doing tonight and next week as well. So think of all those money questions that you want to ask us, and send them our way on Twitter using the hashtag MySmartMoneyQuestion. So what do you say we jump into some market news, Jason?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
It's been a long week. We haven't been on it for a while. So let's see what we got here. So some stocks, a lot of red. I'm seeing a lot of red today. I don't like seeing a lot of red, but let's see. The Dow Jones is down 27. NASDAQ down 18. S&P 500 down 6. Amazon down 4. Apple down 1.39. Tesla down 6.7. What's one up? I gotta get a green in here. You got what's one that's up? Any see any that's up?
I don't have any up on mine here. I mean, everything is like just a tiny bit down, like a tiny bit. I mean, it's like I got literally
one.
Almost flat.
I got one that's up. Netflix is up today. Six points. Netflix.
Okay. Hey, good for them.
Look, I was looking on Robinhood here, and I saw Amazon. If I can find it again, I think it was Amazon. Maybe it was on. I don't know what it was on. Amazon had a big drop this morning at opening around 10:30 this morning, recovered very nicely. I was kind of surprised. Dropped down to 1663-ish in there, 1665, and came back up at 1687. So $30 there. So they recovered nicely. I would say that. They recovered nicely. So, yeah, that's what we got for stocks for tonight, I guess. Everything is looking red, kind of set, kind of down, kind of sad. Nothing new. Not a lot down, like Jason said. Just a little bit.
Yeah, relatively flat here. I mean, it was just kind of a quieter day. Everyone's kind of waiting to see what's up with the whole G20 summit and kind of seeing what the Fed's doing. So everybody just kind of washed their hands today and lived to fight another day.
It is Thursday, so all the boom over Cyber Monday and all that is kind of over. So that's all right, though. But talking about Cyber Monday, CNBC is reporting that Cyber Monday sales broke a record with $7.9 billion spent online, according to Adobe Analytics. So, let's see here. It broke. It's a 19.3% increase from a year ago. Let's see. Thanksgiving Day online sales totaled $3.7 billion. Black Friday pulled in a record $6.22 billion in e-commerce sales. A lot of shoppers turned to the internet over the holidays. But what do you think of that, Jason?
I mean, it's not surprising, honestly. I kind of expect this number to keep going up and up and up. We're seeing more people leaving the traditional just brick-and-mortar stores to where, I mean, if I can sit on my couch and order something,
why not?
Rather than going into the store, especially, you know, it's a little chilly out here. You know, us Ohio folks have to live with that. So, I mean, I can stay in the comfort of my own home. That's going to win nine times out of ten.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see here. Amazon, which was it? It is expected to capture nearly half of U.S. e-commerce market by year's end, said it had a record-breaking holiday weekend for sales. The company said shoppers bought more than 18 million toys and more than 13 million fashion items from Amazon Black Friday and Cyber Monday combined. Kohl's, which has partnered with Amazon to accept Amazon returns in some of its stores, said last week it had a record day for sales online, Thanksgiving Day.
That's interesting.
I know how they partnered with them to accept Amazon returns. I'm curious how that works.
I'm guessing they have, I mean, it's some kind of partnership to where, I mean, I'm sure they're paying a fee of some kind to Kohl's or something, but I mean, for Kohl's, that's a pretty smart move. You get in mixed in with Amazon, that could help out, keep you from becoming the JCPenney of the world and Sears. I mean, that can help you out a lot. You get your name mixed in with Amazon.
They just got people in the door now.
Oh yeah,
gotta
for
make
sure.
That Amazon return. Let me get you in the door, and then we'll sell you something we got on the shelf.
Oh yeah, you walk by all the stuff they have. They always have stuff out in the middle of the aisles and everything.
You probably have to walk to the back of the store anyway.
That's what I was gonna say. Have you ever noticed where every single customer service is in Kohl's? It's in the back left corner. Every single one I've ever been in is all the way in the back. So you have to walk through the entire store to get there. Smart.
It is.
Annoying.
It's like the milk in the grocery store. You gotta walk through the entire store to get to the back.
That's a good point. I never thought of that.
You did. This is what you get when you start talking to an economics major.
Yeah, never once actually.
Wanna know what that's called? I just learned it. It's called a lost leader strategy.
Hmm. So. Okay.
Tip of the day. Or fact of the day, not tip.
Learn something new every day. There we go.
All right. We'll move on here to our next article. Microsoft is challenging Apple to be the most valuable company, but beware of the winner's curse. So this article, I've lost where it's from Barron's, says that Microsoft is keeping up with Apple. They're neck and neck right now for the, what is it, most profitable, most?
The biggest market cap, what it is, basically what the company is worth.
Exactly. So this person did a study and found that in each case, the top dogs earn lousy 10-year returns. It says the top spot by market value to underperform years afterward. Which I could kind of see, just because, you know, you're kind of on top and you're trying to maintain what if you have a really great year? Like a new product comes out and everyone buys it and it increases your market cap. And then next year, you know, you're not going to come out with a new product. You might, depending on your industry, but next year, you know, you might not have that. So then you're trying to maintain that sales and it's just not possible.
Yeah. One, I mean, I'm assuming part of this is, I mean, once you are the, you know, most valuable company in the US or the entire world for that matter, I mean, you're not probably still in a growth stage. To where you've probably, I mean, I don't want to say peaked, but I mean, you're probably not growing very rapidly compared to, I mean, all the smaller companies. I mean, the average company that's in the U.S. market, they're going to be growing a lot faster than someone who's already completely established, essentially.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of expect that. I mean, but then again, I mean, it's kind of surprising that's basically so bad for a 10-year return.
Yeah. The other note in this article says the top companies in their fields can attract unwanted regulation, antitrust action, and public scorn. Being number one means always having to say you're sorry. that a gentleman named, his last name's Arnott, wrote in the Journal of Indexes. So he's not wrong.
Huh. That's a good point, too.
Apple's on top right now, and they're, you know, constantly saying, oh, I'm sorry.
They're getting beat up, too.
I know. They just got, I was telling you last night, they just got a new lawsuit against them.
Yeah, they got downgraded twice by, it was one of the banks, banks that do all the ratings and everything. They downgraded them twice. It's rough. They're getting beat up a lot right now, especially over iPhone sales.
I believe that. The iPhone, I don't know. I love, like, they're only, like I've said multiple times on this show that since Steve Jobs, they just haven't been the company that they used to be. I watched a gentleman on YouTube literally take the new iPad Pro 10-inch, I think, is it 11-inch? What, the smaller version? Take it in his hands and just crush it. He just snapped it. Because I don't know whose brand idea this was. Put a hole at the top on the side. I think it was it's either a mic or a speaker. But they put it in the center. So that was like a weak point. And he put his thumbs right there and just broke the whole iPad. So it's those type of things that really hurts them. But yeah, people keep buying it for probably for multiple reasons. Some might just be the logo, but we'll see. I don't know. But yeah, so top company might not be the best thing. Let's see. Microsoft has risen from a 29% discount to the S&P 500 at the time of our 2015 story to a recent 16% premium. Apple, meanwhile, traded recently at a 38% discount. 38% discount, so we'll see who comes out on top. Why don't we move on? What do you think? Move on.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
This is kind of sad news. GM, have you heard?
Oh, yes, I have heard.
It's kind of sad, especially for Lordstown, Ohio. So, anyways, if you haven't heard, GM is making, I don't know, cuts in salaries as well as cuts to their vehicle lines. So GM will no longer make these six cars. We'll start with the Buick LaCrosse, which from January to September was down 14.2%. They will no longer make the Cadillac CT6, which was down 10.6%. The Cadillac XTS, which was down 15.9%. The Chevy Cruze, which was down 26.5%. The Chevy Impala, which was down 13.4%, and the Chevrolet Volt, which was down 13.7%. The big one that hurts right here in Ohio is the Chevy Cruze, which is most of the parts made down there in Lordstown, I believe. So, yeah, that one's hurt in Ohio hard.
Well, it looked like a lot of these are all made, I mean, kind of in like Ohio, Michigan, and like some Canada stuff, where, I mean, it's kind of really hurting.
Yeah, what is it? They also announced that they plan to lay off 15% of salaried workers, and most of it has to do with Oshawa Assembly in Ontario, Lordstown Assembly in Ohio, Detroit Amtrak Assembly in Michigan after December 2019. So another month here and closing down those three assemblies. So it's kind of sad, but it says the actions today will continue our transformation to be highly agile, resilient, and profitable while giving us the flexibility to invest in the future, Chief Executive Mary Barra said in a statement. But this was interesting. Wall Street applauded the news with GM stock closing up nearly 5% after the news at 37.65.
Well, that might be partly because they said it was going to save them to save $6 billion in cash as a part of the restructuring. So they probably like that part. And I mean, it sounds great in theory when you're like, we're going to cut out our low performers and replace them with higher performers. I mean, it sounds good on paper as long as you can do it.
And they mostly cut out their sedans because most people aren't buying sedans right now. They're buying trucks, SUVs,
crossovers. Yeah, I was going to say, every single one of these was a four-door car. Yeah. Every single one of them was. The one that actually really surprises me is the Volt. Now, do I like a Volt? The Volt? No. Neither would you? Would I buy one? No. But being an electric, like a hybrid, a plug-in one as well option, I find that really surprising that that's one they cut out.
I don't think they're going to cut it out. I think they're going to cut it out now, change the name, and bring it back and kind of redesign it.
That would make sense.
Because they are trying to go to that kind of more electric, autonomous field. So I want to count it out. I think they're going to change the name and bring it back in some way, shape, or form.
So it's basically a temporarily, we're going to kill this one and we're going to bring it back with something cooler that has a different name.
Yeah, probably. I could see it.
Makes sense.
But the one thing that has, this move has a lot of Ohio senators really mad.
So, I mean, to be expected.
I know. So I'm not surprised by it. There's two sides to every story. So we'll see what happens down the road.
Yeah, we'll see.
GM makes out with this one. So
I'm surprised too. I'm waiting to see what happens because I know old Don wasn't too happy about this one. I call Donald Trump Don.
Oh, I was sorry. A little lost there for a second.
Yeah, no, I call him Don. Yeah. he was slamming him. I mean,
yeah, I saw that too.
They got a pretty nice bailout not too long ago, and I mean, they start doing stuff like this that kind of, undermines what he's doing a little bit too, to where it's, I wonder how that's all going to go. And I know they said they were going to stop giving him subsidies. I thought they said subsidies. They get subsidized for the volts, but the volt is one they're cutting out. So I don't know if there's different, electric or hybrid cars they get subsidies for that they're going to, might possibly penalize them for or something, but.
I read somewhere that I think this move was driven by the sales that are down in the U.S. and China.
Oh, yeah. I mean, right now the economy's so good that the economy's good and gas is cheap. People want big trucks, people want big SUVs, people don't really care about having a four-door car that's efficient on gas. That's boring. Who cares? It doesn't look cool when you pull up. They want something right now that looks cool and you can put a ton of stuff in.
Yeah.
They don't really care that much about gas mileage right now.
It depends on where you're at in the U.S. You know, if you're in a northern area, you're not going to want a sedan, especially right now when
true.
It gets into the winter. Some do, some don't. Some would rather have a nice SUV with four-wheel drive, get some power.
Yeah, I mean, in some places you need it. Other places it just makes you feel better. So,
yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Come January 2019. Yeah. Wait, did I say December 2019?
It seemed like a lot of them were 2019. One of them might have crept into 2020, it looked like. But yeah, it looks like the majority of that's coming 2020 or 2019. Yeah.
We got a while then.
Yeah. I mean, they got to wind down the assembly lines and stuff. And I mean, it'd be nice if they were going to say we're going to sell out the existing inventory, but we're going to convert the factories to make the new car or something. Or, I mean, I know they said that they didn't really say much about that, but I thought it would be nice if they would have said something about that. But speaking of cheap gas today. I got gas for $1.99 today.
No, you didn't.
Dead serious. Yes, I did. $1.99 in Lima.
All right, everyone. Lima. $1.99.
Under two. And it was in Beaver Dam, too, at that Speedway, too. Stopped and got it at the Speedway in Lima, but on my way back on 75, the Speedway in Beaver Dam was $1.99 as well.
You better not be lying to these folks, Jason.
I'm 100% serious.
All right, so if you're on the road right now listening, you got to find your way to Beaver Dam and get some $1.99 gas.
It's good stuff.
All right. Interesting. What do you say we move to our next one on retirement?
Yeah, this one's interesting. I want to go to this one.
So the title is, it's about to get easier for millions of California workers to save for retirement. But so California is coming up with a new program called CalSavers, a new state-sponsored retirement savings program in California, requiring employers without a company-sponsored retirement plan to offer employees a Roth IRA. So a Roth IRA allows you to save after-tax earnings now and withdraw the money tax-free during retirement. So after all your taxes are taken out of your paycheck, you can invest that money into a Roth IRA, and it will grow tax-free, essentially. So when you go to retire and want to withdraw from it, you aren't taxed when you withdraw. Just to, brushing up on what a Roth IRA is again. They plan to roll out the new program over the next 3 years, beginning in July 2019, with different deadlines for different sized companies. There are similar programs already in place in Connecticut, Maryland, Oregon, Illinois, and Seattle already, which I thought was interesting. So a little more about the plan. You are able to contribute part of their paycheck to an individual retirement account through a new program. The pilot phase is only offering a Roth IRA. Traditional IRAs will come sometime in 2019. Limits the same. Let's see. Your adjusted gross income is less than $122,000 as a single filer, or less than $193,000 if you're married and filing taxes with your spouse. If you're 50 or older, the limit rises to $7,000. Oh yeah, so $6,000 for those for the first. What's the word I'm looking for?
I mean, that's just the limits. That's gonna be the 2019 limits on the IRA. So, I mean, it still goes by the standard limits to where you can only put $6,000 in a IRA, whether it's traditional or Roth, and you get $19,000 next year for your 401k.
This next paragraph caught my ear a little bit. According to research from AARP Public Policy Institute, American workers are 15 times more likely to contribute to a retirement plan when it's operated by their employer in the form of an automatic payroll deduction, and some 55 million Americans don't have this option.
That is sheer laziness.
That's what I was thinking. I'm glad. I thank you for saying it.
Yeah, well, okay, here's...
Because you can still make it automatic, even if it's not from your employer.
That's exactly what I was going to say, is if you, I know 100%, I mean, for Fidelity, if you have a Roth IRA with them, you can literally set it up so every month they will take X amount out of your checking account or wherever you want, your savings account, whatever it is. So it's already an option. It's just that people are too lazy or uninformed about it and just don't want to do it for themselves.
Exactly. So this Cal Savers thing is the state solution to closing this gap. So they're trying to come on, people. You got to go do it yourself. You can't, leave it to the government to come save you. You got to put some initiative into it and go do it yourself a little bit. I don't know. I don't like where this is going.
This is just simply, government overreach for human laziness. I mean, this is an option that's already exists. It's just people are just lazy, and they don't want to talk to someone who actually understands finances. Get an investment person.
Get a financial advisor and get it figured out with them. Get some automatic deductions coming out of your check, and you will never see them. You can see them. You can see the number on your pay stub, and that's about it.
Yep. I mean, whether it's coming out of your paycheck before you get it, or whether it's coming out of your checking account after you get your paycheck, I mean, it's
doesn't matter.
Same thing.
Yeah. Just make it automatic. Put some initiative into it. Go get it done. But by July 2020, California companies with more than 100 employees and no employee-sponsored retirement plan must be registered with CalSavers. So by 2020, everyone's going to have this.
Yeah, and then I think the one thing that's really interesting, I find it hilarious. So it's down later in this, it says, according to a UC Berkeley Labor Center study, a typical 25-year-old who participates in the CalSavers program will save enough to generate about $7,000 in annual income. So you're telling me that if you start investing at the age of 25, by the time you retire, you will only have enough money to make $7,000 in annual income. That's saying that in... We'll say you retire at 65.
Yeah.
In 40 years, you will only save about $70,000 in 40 years with compounding interest.
Yeah, that's sad. That's bad.
You could put like $5,000 in there at age 25 and not do anything to it, and you would have that much.
I agree with you. That's just sad.
That is mind-numbingly incorrect. Mind-numbingly incorrect.
What do you mean? Like that they shouldn't be doing that? Is that what you mean?
I'm saying that if you start investing at 25 years old,
it says a typical 25-year-old who participates in this program.
Yeah, we'll save enough to generate about $7,000 in annual retirement
income. Which is just sad.
So it says, by the time you're 65 and you've been doing this for 40 years, you'll only be able to get $7,000 a year.
Yeah, for your retirement income.
Which is less than $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
Which is...
Seems plausible. I think multiple people can live off of that
income. It's not even hard. I don't know the math off my top of head, but I mean, if you're doing $70,000 in 40 years... That's like $2,000 a year with no interest.
Yeah, you should be maxing out some retirement. You should By the time, you should be close to being a millionaire by the time.
That's not even max. I mean, literally, it's $2,000 a year.
If you're starting at 25 or 27, you should easily be able to max out retirement accounts and get to $1 million or close to it. 800,000, million, over a million. It's so simple.
It'd be a heck of a lot more than just $70,000. That is.
You're not living off of that.
Well, and honestly, I think this just is another thing to kind of, woe is me. Us millennials can't get ahead. I can only, if I save by the time, from when I start at 25 until I retire and die, I'll only make $7,000 a year. Oh, we don't have pensions. It's so hard now. Yeah. Ball's in your court. Go do it. Go get it done. It's not hard.
I agree. All right, before we move to the next article, I'm checking Twitter. I don't see any questions. So if you're listening and you have a money question, Jason and I are doing this new thing tonight where we don't have a lesson. We're just going to answer everyone's money questions out there. So if you have a question, tweet it to us using the hashtag MySmartMoneyQuestion, and we will answer it tonight shortly. So get those questions in. I know people are listening out there. You got to get those questions in. Anyways, so guess what? California isn't the only one doing the retirement program. Connecticut. Well, I think Connecticut was on the list, but they're implementing a mandatory IRA program. They announced in January 2019, it will begin requiring private sector employers with their own workplace-based retirement plans to enroll employees in an individual retirement arrangement sponsored by the state. The requirement stems from legislation enacted in 2016 that is intended to help employers save for retirement. I don't think there's anything new on this one.
No, it's basically the same thing. I mean, it's just basically them making them offer something that's already available to them.
Yeah.
Probably at higher cost, honestly. I saw the one in the California one. It was going to have like a 1% fee for it.
That too.
To where, I mean, if you... I mean, right now, how many ads do you see every day for mutual funds that have a 0% fee? Fidelity just came out with two of them. Okay. One's an S&P, and the other one is actual like a international fund, and they both have zero fees, zero commissions, nothing. It's like, just use that.
Use that or go get yourself a actual advisor and let yourself pick your whatever you want to put your retirement in. Work it out with an advisor.
That was one thing we didn't touch on is the options for what you could put it in. The options that it said was basically you can have a bond fund, a capital preservation fund, which neither of us knew offhand what that was. So I'm assuming that's literally just like a money market account or a savings account.
Something.
To preserve your capital.
Yeah, that would make sense.
By definition, I guess. And then target date funds. It didn't mention anything about just regular mutual funds. So I don't know if this is actually in, like, for the good of the general public, honestly.
Yeah. I don't know. What are we going to do? I don't know. Just
call your senator. That's what you can do.
No, because people, 55 million people don't save for retirement unless it's automatic. So, hey, if this is all they're going to save, at least they have something.
True. I mean, thinking about that, just the sheer laziness to where it's like, unless you do it for them, they won't do it. With something as big as your retirement, I mean, we're talking like 20, 30 years of your life possibly.
Exactly.
I mean, if that isn't a big enough thing to motivate you, I don't know how you motivate those people. So, I mean,
like, hey, you're going to retire at 65 and you're going to live for, 15 years now? 20? About 20-ish? 20 years maybe? You're going to live a while. You know, whatever your retirement dream is, you got to be able to fund that. You got to have a plan. If you don't have a plan, I don't know. You're just kind of, a sitting duck. You're just kind of like floating on the water. Just like, oh, what's going to happen today? Nothing good, probably.
No, probably not.
So that's all I think we're going to say on implementing mandatory IRA programs. People, let's put some initiative. Let's anticipate a little bit. Let's get out there. Go get ourselves some retirement help. Go get some retirement funds started. Yeah. Anyways, we'll move on here to our Say What? On this week, we're going to talk about a Business Insider article that I found where this guy pays $1,000 in annual fees for the Chase Sapphire Reserve and the Amex Platinum. And as far as he's concerned, the math checks out.
The math checks out. Oh, okay, I'm interested to hear about this.
The
Let's
math
go.
Checks out.
Yep.
All right, so we're going to... We always got to double-check the math, right?
Yeah, like $7,000 a year from 40 years of savings, right? Give me the math. Let's go. What you got?
All right, so it says the valuable rewards that come with these cards outweigh the yearly fees. So he says that they complement each other, so it is worth paying $1,000 in fees. Let's check this out, right? So... Oh, we got to get to his little... So, right before he gets to all the rewards you get and all the benefits, he puts these two italicized lines that I just love. It says, keep in mind that we're focusing on the rewards and perks that make these cards great options, not things like interest rates and late fees, which can outweigh the value of any rewards. Huh. Interesting. When you're working on... earn credit card rewards, it's important to practice financial discipline like paying your balances off in full each month, making payments on time, and not spending more than you can afford to pay back. Basically, treat your credit card like a debit card. I have a funny idea. Why not just use your debit card?
That's wild. Who would have thought of that one?
I don't know. All right, so let's jump into what he... So, basically, these cards have a bunch of rewards and benefits. And it's going to be hard to keep him straight because he's talking about two cards. So I'm going to do my best here. So we're going to start with the Chase Sapphire Reserve. It offers a $300 travel credit each card member year. It automatically applied to your first $300 in travel and transit spending, covering those purchases, or if one single person is larger than $300, covering the first $300 of it. It says when you subtract the $300 travel credit, your annual fee is only $450 now. Or your annual $450 fee is now $150 for this card.
Okay, we're getting down there. Okay.
Yeah. You can also get up to $200 in Uber credits each card member year. Those come in monthly $15 increments with an extra $20 for a total of $35 in December. So, what we're bringing it down to what? I don't even know where he's at now.
Well, you've gained $50 at this point.
Yeah, that's what he said. If you use it right, you can gain money.
Okay.
Next, there's an airline fee credit each calendar year. Each January or whenever you open your card, you can pick one airline for the credit to apply toward. While the credit card doesn't cover tickets, it covers incidental fees like check bag, seat assignments on basic economy tickets, change fees, and more. Well, this is just sounding like a game I have to play every year.
Yeah, what if you don't? What if you fly like Southwest and you don't have to... Yeah. Like, have check bags and stuff. Okay. All right. We'll keep going.
So, we're
going
to move on to the Amex. I think Amex Platinum. When you subtract their two credits, the annual fee is also just $150. But wait, because the airline fee credit is each calendar year, if you open a card mid-year, you should be able to use it twice within the first 12 months you have the card. That means that you, at the end of your first year, you'll have gotten back the entire fee plus an extra $50. Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Stop. Tell me more. For the rest of this article, let's assume you only use it once. We'll consider the remaining fee minus the credit at $150. Here are the various perks, benefits, and points. And then he just gets into this massive, like, point system where it's like you get like 1 cent per $1, and then if you use the tickets, if you use your points at a certain way, you get a 50% bonus. That means your points are worth 1.5 cents instead. I honestly lost my mind trying to read this, which is exactly what everyone else does. You're playing a game every single year to make your $1,000 in fees rewarding. This is just nuts. You know what I think we should do with $1,000? Save it. And if you're traveling, just use it towards your travel. Why are we trying to play a game? This is insane. You're using these cards. You're using not just one, two cards to make them count. So that means you have to keep the rewards and point systems in your head separate from one another. This is insane. You're like tying your feet up and dangling over a fire. It's just outright insane. You were bound to lose at some point. Why do you think they still have these cards? Because they are making money. If they didn't have them, they wouldn't have a 30-story skyscraper, and they wouldn't be offering them anymore. This is outright insane to spend $1,000 in annual fees to get travel expenses. And some of it was just insane. He said you get like rental insurance and all this. You get rental insurance with your regular car insurance that you must have legally if you have a car. And if you don't have a car, it's probably not that expensive to just get rental insurance. Get some liability in case something happens while you're driving a rental car. It's cheaper than $1,000 to sign your life away basically to a credit card company. This is insane, people. Insane. Don't pay $1,000 in annual fees trying to play a game with a credit card company. You are bound to lose at some point. When Murphy comes knocking on your door, and actually doesn't even knock, he just busts through, and something happens, and all of your spare cash, you know, you have to use to get Murphy back out of the house, and then you can't pay on your credit cards, what are you going to do then? I hope you're going to pay their interest free, and that is why they have a 30-story skyscraper. And then what happens if you trip here, trip this? I don't know. You can't use your benefits, and then you're out $1,000. I think one fee was $550, and the other one was $450. I don't know. This is just insane.
It's a lot of money. A lot of money just to have something.
I have a better idea. Let's not get credit cards. Which I'm gonna move on since I'm already kind of in it. What grinds my gears?
Well, but hang on though.
You got something? I'm sorry.
Well, just one key detail that they forgot to mention in there: the Chase that card, it's metal. You could have a metal card though.
Jason, stop it.
All right, I just had to put that in there.
Is this seriously a metal card?
Yeah, no, dead serious. It's legitimately metal.
Get out of here.
Because I use Chase in fact my checking account, and the one day they were saying something about how they are like behind on issuing the cards because the metal, they use some fancy metal in it or something, and they were like back ordered because they ran out of metal.
Back ordered.
Yeah, because they ran out of metal, so they couldn't like properly make them or something. So, yeah.
Back ordered.
Yeah.
No, you're lying with me, man. You're joking, right?
I'm dead serious. That's literally what they told me.
Oh my gosh. Why, people? Why? Do you have anything to say on this?
No. Go ahead.
We moving on.
Grind your gears. Let's go.
What grinds my gears? So the holidays are upon us, Jason. You know how many people forgot in giant air quotes about the holidays? So how do we solve this? We get out our credit cards and we just start a swiping, maniac swiping. Because we forgot about the holidays. They snuck up on us. They snuck up on us this year.
That sneaky Christmas.
Oh my gosh, sneaky Christmas. Huh. That's weird, Jason. If I look at a calendar for 2019, you know what Christmas is going to be?
Probably in the same spot as last year.
You are exactly right. Wow. It is on December 25th of 2019. And where's it at in 2020?
That's a hard question. That might be a Jeopardy question.
I think they make calendars already for 2020. And if I look at one, guess where Christmas will be? December 25th. Guess where Black Friday will be?
The day after Thanksgiving.
The Friday. The fourth Friday in Thanksgiving. Huh. That's interesting. But guess what? It snuck up on us. We didn't see it coming. So we got to use our credit card, and we have no cash saved up for the holidays because it snuck up on us. It didn't sneak up on you. You just didn't do the correct planning to get ready for the holidays. It didn't sneak up on you. If you don't have money for the holidays, you better quickly make a budget and find excess cash. And don't spend above your means.
Get another job. Everyone and their brother's hiring right now.
That works too. Black Friday would have been a great job to get a great job. Great time to get a second job to get some extra cash for the holidays. I understand forgetting, but there are things that you can plan ahead. Starting in January to start planning. Like, start putting money away every single month. To start preparing. I was reading a bunch of tips from Rachel Cruz Dave Ramsey's daughter, one of them was like, during the year, buy Christmas presents. When you have a deal, like, you have to have a plan. You have to sit down. Who do I need to buy for? Or who would I potentially need to buy for? And what do these people like? And only buy what they like. Don't go out and just buy things because there's, you know, there's a sale or something. Go out there with intention and go get stuff. But don't say Christmas or Thanksgiving snuck up on you.
It's so funny that it snuck up on me. That's the worst excuse you could ever think of.
It didn't sneak up on you. Go get yourself a 2019 calendar. It's in the same spot. But if you are out there using your credit card all the holidays, start January, we gotta attack that. We gotta get that gone. Second job, whatever you need to do, you gotta attack that and get rid of that Christmas debt. We can't be carrying Christmas debt to next Christmas. That's not how this works. That's not gonna do.
You gotta break that cycle.
Break the cycle, and then start putting cash away early. Put some money away every month, and get a new snowball going. Get something new going. Figure out what you need for Christmas. I think the average was around $1,000. I think it was a little over 1,000. So if you think you need more than 1,000, figure out how you can get that within these months, and plan ahead. Christmas, the holidays did not sneak up on you. It wasn't, you know, walking behind you all, you know, up until October and then November, like, ooh. No, but that didn't happen. Forgot to plan. You got lazy. You didn't plan. All right. That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to cool down now. Sorry.
There you go. No, that's, I mean, it's one of the worst excuses I've heard in a while. So that's pretty justifiable there.
Do you have a grind my gears?
I really don't. I've been trying to be more positive lately. You've been, I'm trying not to be kind of negative. Okay. Not saying like this is necessarily a bad thing, but like I've just been trying to like not be like Debbie Downer. So
okay, well, maybe the last 2 weeks here we'll have a new statement for you. What's your positive news for everyone?
Hey, there you go.
You got anything positive out there for everyone?
Now you put me on the spot. Positive.
If you don't, it's all right.
Positive thing. I got Chip and Joanna's book. I think it's just called Magnolia.
Yeah, that's all.
I got that for free the other day on ebook.
Hey, look at you.
Or it's an audiobook actually. So once I finished what I'm listening to now, that'll be up next. I'm almost done with my capital gains book too, so you can probably get you some of that.
I'm excited now.
It's a good one.
Awesome.
It's a good one. I'm like listening to a book, reading a book on my phone, and reading the physical book of Chip's. So I'm kind of like bouncing in between three.
Have you been able to keep them straight?
Yeah, actually, there are three pretty different ones. I mean, the one I'm listening to is Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink.
Okay.
You know, the good video I think I made you watch like 100 times?
Yeah.
That guy.
Okay.
And it's on like leadership and, I mean, basically taking ownership of stuff. So I listen to that one in the car, you know, while I'm going to work every day.
Okay.
So I listen to that back and forth. My Chip book, I mean, I just read when I have time. And then the other one is...
What, you reading that one on the treadmill?
It's the one... No, I can't. I can't read on the treadmill. I would fall and break every bone in my body. Is the 13 things mentally strong people do.
Yeah,
I used a quote from that the other day, the other show. And I read that one mainly at night because it's on my phone. It's like if I'm laying in bed, like trying to go to sleep and I can't go to sleep, I'll whip that open, read a chapter or whatnot. So...
Okay.
So I'm kind of bouncing back in between three. So trying to like read because I'm not that great at reading. So, you know, I force myself to do it to kind of make
reading's good. A lot of successful people read a lot of books. So if you want to be successful, start reading a bunch.
Yeah, that's kind of like...
It's a tip I've heard a couple times. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like... I mean, Dave says all the time, I mean, if you want to be rich people, do what rich people do. If you want to be smart people, do what smart people do. Smart people read. I should probably read some. I know I'm not very good at reading, which is surprising because that was the best score I got on my ACT.
Reading?
Reading was by my best score I got on the ACT by far. But yeah, so I got significantly higher than everything else for reading. And I basically am, I can't, I'm not going to say I can't read, but I suck at reading. So.
You'll get better. You'll get there.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I was trying to read a book a month, and that fell off real quick.
Really?
Especially when we got back into school and stuff, and I just can't keep up with it.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, I got some sad news, Jason.
What is it?
We don't have any questions.
No questions.
Come on, guys. Where's these questions at? I know there's some money questions out there. Where's the money questions? We got to get some money questions.
Or one thing that might be interesting is, so today during Money and Banking, John asked about, just kind of like surveyed the room quick and asked if there was a personal finance course here at Bluffton, would we take it? And I mean, a lot. I mean, in that class, just to kind of set the tone, I mean, give you kind of an idea of what the class is, it's mainly seniors and a lot and juniors. So it's people that are about to go out into the world. And there was a lot of people, I mean, a lot of hands shot up quick. And there was a lot of people who like emphatically were like, yes, please. I wish I had one now. To where maybe we could do something where we could go around asking students what would be something finance-wise you would like to know about. And
well, I don't want
to... some of those.
Get the rabbit out of the... I don't know what I'm looking for. I got some kind of exciting news I've been kind of mulling over. And that might actually make me do what I'm thinking. So I don't know if... maybe I'm, like once a month I was thinking of taking Smart Money. It's already live on the radio, but I was thinking like doing a personal like finance during lunch hours. Like in the AB room there. And like have what we do on the show, giving like a summary of like Dave Ramsey's steps and everything, but doing it in person once a month or something.
Yeah.
Bringing smart money to the people.
There you go.
So that might actually make me do it. So everyone wants some personal finance. Yeah. I'll give them some personal finance.
Well, I mean, when you got, I mean, you graduate, you're going to buy a house sometime. To where, I mean, no one teaches you about mortgages or PMI or what's a 15-year or 30-year.
I'll teach them all about it. I love it.
Or what's a ARM mortgage or what's this or what's that. And I mean, it's like, do I want a fixed rate? Do I want a VA loan? Do I want a FHA loan?
You want a fixed one.
To where it's like, I mean, there's so much stuff to where it's, no one teaches you about it. And it's like, when you get your student loans 6 months after you graduate, do I want to put it on the income-based repayment? Do I want to put it in forbearance? Do I want to just pay the normal one? Do I want to pay extra on it? Why should I do any of those options? No one knows if you're not into finance stuff. And I mean, even in our finance classes, we really don't...
We don't touch on that at all.
Touch on that. I mean, because it's personal finance and we're doing a lot of, I mean, like...
Businessy
related stuff.
I like that. We might be bringing smart money to the people next semester.
Yeah, there we go. Or go around and, well, I don't know, we'll see if anyone's got any questions. Or, I mean, have you heard? Has anyone asked you questions since we started doing this show or anything? Or
anyone asked me questions?
Yeah, like questions anyone's asked you around campus or anything? Or
not really. Kind of sad. Huh. I'm waiting for someone to ask me a question. Because we kind of say some interesting stuff on the show. Stuff that isn't normal because, you know, Dave likes to say, if you do what normal people do, you'll always be broke.
I mean, that's pretty true. Normal is broke.
See, he always says normal is broke. So we got to be weird people. I am a weird people. I'm weird people. I'm a weird person. I have different financial thoughts than the norm. Like, don't ask me about credit cards. Which is weird because I'm a business major, an economics major, and credit. Most people, you know, you need credit to get some, you know, you get somewhere in life. Cash is king.
Oh, but you gotta use their money and you use it and give yourself a higher return and pay them back though.
I like I said when I was talking about earlier about the article, it's like tying your feet up and dangling over a fire. You're playing with fire. So yeah, we say some stuff on the show that is different than probably what your parents have done. And we've been watching the same game footage for decades. It isn't working anymore, people. It just isn't working anymore. So on the show, we got new game footage. We do new things. We've seen people become everyday millionaires by doing the steps that we are talking about on the show. And that's kind of the personal finance I want to bring to the students. Personal finance that is different than what probably their parents have done, which is kind of bad, you know, like parents, you know, your kid's like paying off all his debt and you're like, why are you doing that?
Or even like, I mean, I think it was what grinds my gears a couple of times. I mean, was in my social class to where it's like, I mean, they talk about, oh, the American dream's dead, and, you know, you're going to be paying on all your student loans until you die. And it's like,
that's not true.
No, it's like, oh, and one of the lessons was on wealth and how, you know, the top 1% control everything. And it's like,
stop, no.
It's 93% of millionaires in the U.S. right now are first generation rich. Yes. They didn't inherit their money, to where it's like, I just want, I mean, to tell these kids stuff. And it's like, give them hope. It's like, yes, this can be done, and it is being done. And it's like, what you're being told is not factually based, it's opinion.
Yeah,
and you can do it. You just have to want to do it.
The information that we have available to us is driven. It's basically false information. It's been collaborated by corporations like credit card companies or this and that.
A lot of politically motivated stuff comes out in the classroom too, which is gross.
Yeah, but politics aside.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Because we don't have to bring politics in to talk about money. Personal finance.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot where I was going with that. But just a lot of it is, a lot of the information that we will receive about some of the topics that you mentioned are kind of driven by people trying to make money off of us.
Oh, yeah. There's always an agenda behind it one way or another, you know.
And the information that we're trying to give is simple information. Like Dave says, KISS. Keep it simple, stupid.
It's true.
If you're trying to do something, going the simplest route is probably the best route. Like Jason was talking about all those mortgages. Go with the simple one. I don't know how much simpler a 15-year fix could be. It's the simplest one. Now you know you might go 30, but just things like that. Like you don't have to get some fancy name mortgage, just a regular thing is, you know, simple enough. Student loans. You don't need to know all the things you mentioned. You know, they kind of help. But if you just start paying on them right away and doing what you can, if you can pay extra, great. If you can't, not a big deal. But if you start paying on them right away,
mm-hmm.
It's simple. Simplest thing. Companies are trying to make our lives more complex, and we think they're making we think they're helping us. They're really not helping us. They're making our lives so complex. Credit cards. I always come back to credit cards. College kids, we always need credit cards. I've heard multiple times on campus, people trying to get credit cards. If you already have student loans, you already have a credit score. If you need something to do with a credit score, you already have it well established. Once you get out, you'll pay on those loans. You'll be fine. You don't need a credit card. Why? My question is why? You're better off without it.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing with fire if you get one. You don't need a FICO score. It's an I love debt score. They finally changed it to where it measures bank history, but 99.9% of it is off of your debt history. You're making other people's lives easier. You don't need all that stuff. If you can... You have to work a little harder, you personally do, to get, you know, a mortgage or things like that. But that's fine. Show them that you can pay on bills on time. Pay your bills on time and prove that to them. Have them underwrite a mortgage for you. That's the only thing that you need. You don't. Mm-hmm. We don't need to be trying to one-up each other buying fancy cars with credit scores. You know, we don't need to be trying to impress people we don't know with money we don't have. You don't need a credit score for anything. An apartment's the same way. Find someone that's willing to work with you and look at your payment history on bills. And they will give you the apartment. What else would you need a credit score for?
I couldn't tell you.
I think I covered everything a college student would need a credit score for. You don't need one. We don't need credit cards to get credit scores. You're just making someone else's life easier by making yours more complicated, by putting yours in risk. You're raising your risk by getting a credit card. You just put an engraved sign out in your front lawn for Murphy. And he's going to come knocking, and he's going to not... You think you have it... I hear these excuses all the time. Oh, I'm going to be responsible with it. I'm only going to use it for these certain things, and I'm going to pay it off right away. But you're borrowing someone else's cash, and when Murphy comes knocking, and he knocks you off your rocker, and you don't have money to put on that card, what are you going to do? You're not going to try to find money to pay the credit card. You're going to let the credit card go, and you're going to find money to pay the current situation. And then you're going to get in this bad cycle with a credit card company, and you got your backhoe out, and you started digging a hole in your backyard, and you're climbing down into it. That's very graphic, and it's not very nice, but that's basically what it is. I'm not trying to sugarcoat anything. That's what it is. I've gone on a little tangent here. Jason, you got anything to add?
I don't. No, I'm good.
Yeah, credit cards just get me all riled up. I apologize.
We can tell.
I'm sorry. They just don't make sense to me. Like, mortgages, not, you know, I get, you know, that. But credit cards, people are just, consumer debt's rising. We just come from Thanksgiving, contentment, gratitude. I don't know. We're just spending too much. We're swiping too much. But, yeah. Personal finance. Got to bring that to the people.
Yep.
So, oh, man. I don't think we have any questions.
Nope. Thank about that, time for verse of the day time.
I think it's that time. I will give someone another minute. If you're listening and you have a money question,
or just want to tell us hi.
Or just want to tell us hi. Just tweet hi. Hashtag my smart money question. Just so we know someone's listening. We'd appreciate that. Just to know someone's listening to us. Anyways, all right. Yeah, let's go to the verse of the day. Comes from Luke 12:15. And he said to them, take heed and beware of coveted. I can't even say this word. It's a big word. Covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. That last line there, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of things he possesses. Don't when you graduate from college, don't go out and try to be acquire a bunch of stuff. Stuff doesn't really make you happy. But I think using your time wisely is more productive and give you happiness. But yeah. Go ahead with the quote of the day, Jason.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to beat there. That was good. So quote of the day here is from John Powell. And it was, the only real mistake is the one from which we learn nothing. So I'll read that again there. The only real mistake is the one from which we learn nothing. So it's one thing to make mistakes. It's one thing to make mistakes over and over again, making the same mistake. So if you make one, you should make sure you learn from it.
Which happens a lot when it comes to personal finance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's all we have for you today. I don't think we have anyone willing to give us a little shout-out, hi, or anything. Not getting anything. So, well, no questions. So, next week, get us your questions throughout the week. Let us prepare a little bit so we can give you the best advice. So, during the week, coming up, tweet your questions using the hashtag MySmartMoneyQuestion, and Jason and I will answer your questions the best we can on our last episode of the semester coming up here. Gotta get a little festive next week.
Yeah.
Get the holiday cheer in.
Oh, yeah.
So get the Christmas stuff going up. So get us your questions, and I'm kind of excited to answer them. So get us your questions, and we'll answer the best we can. So I think that's all we have for you tonight. Thanks everyone for joining us, and we will see you next week for our last episode of the semester of Smart Money. And as always, remember to live smart.
Here we go, money talk.
Here comes the money.